We'll commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of February 23, 2007, this is the Rain Report, downloadable as an MP3 file or podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. According to the folks who predict such things, solar cycle 24 should peak sometime during 2010. Just what effect will this much ballyhooed solar maximum have on bands above 6 meters, 50 through 54 megahertz, is anyone's guess. However, according to Thomas Hood, NW7US, propagation columnist for CQ, CQVHF, and popular communications magazines, the fireworks won't necessarily be limited to the 6-meter band.
6 meters has the distinct nature of being very much like the HF band and at the same time being a VHF band, which is primarily line of sight. During a high spot of a solar cycle such as the one we're predicting for cycle 24, with the energy level of the ionosphere being so high, that VHF band is going to be mimicking HF qualities, i.e., we're going to see signals bouncing off the ionosphere over great distances, if not worldwide. But when you move higher in the VHF band, you're getting to radio waves that just are too small, or from peak to peak, just too short of a distance, for it to be able to refract or reflect off of the ionosphere. No matter how high that ionosphere energy level is, it's going to be very difficult to see the 2 meters or higher radio signal bouncing off of that ionospheric cloud. You may see some propagation in the very low part of 2 meters off of an ionospheric cloud. For instance, during aurora, if there's a very strong auroral event going on in the E layer of the ionosphere, those ions are so highly energized and it's so dense that you could see some 2-meter signals being bounced off of that ionospheric matter. But it's rare to see that in any kind of way during even the peak of the strongest solar cycle, because we're looking now not at the E layer, but at a much, much higher altitude, and that's at the F layer. And there's just not enough of a concentration of ions to give you that 2-meter propagation off of that high in the atmosphere. But the aurora that will result from the storms we expect in cycle 24 are going to give you regional and auroral mode propagation. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's unlikely that you're going to see 2-meter propagation of the light you'll see on VHF low, which is the 6-meter area spectrum. We've seen in cycle 23 some incredibly historic solar flares, and if those solar flares occur in such a way that the energy and the plasma is unleashed directly toward Earth, it's going to have an impact, and that impact could result in the loss of satellites, the loss of power grids. And here's why we might lose a power grid. If you remember from your radio theory and electronics theory in your ham studies, when you have a wire stretch across a magnetic field, a current is created. When you cut a magnetic field, electrical current will flow in that wire. We have miles and miles of high voltage power lines going across great numbers of miles of land, stretched out, no different than putting a wire around a magnet. If a solar event occurs that causes a very strong geomagnetic storm, all of a sudden you have an Earth magnet that's fluctuating at a very high rate with very high energy, creating a lot of electrical energy on those long, long, long lines of wire. Those long miles of wire stretched across vast regions of the United States are not designed to hold all of the extra electrical energy that's going to be generated when the Earth's magnetic field becomes so energetically stormy from solar weather. Those power lines and the power grids could explode. It happened in the 1980s during that cycle. A great solar flare occurred, and the geomagnetic storm was very intense, and we saw this massive power outage over in Ottawa, Canada, and down in the United States. Now, that was 1987 or 1989, I can't remember the exact year, but we haven't seen something quite like that happen, because every time we've had these massive historic solar flares, they were off to the side of the sun, and most of that energy missed the Earth. Solar scientists are, of course, concerned. There's going to be a day when the sun's going to unleash an amazing amount of power and energy straight to the Earth, and it's going to affect us. We've seen some minor occurrences of negative impact of space weather when even recently some of the storms in space weather have caused certain satellites to lose functionality may be slightly damaged or at least be down for a bit. We also see some of these satellites losing their orbit because the intense amount of plasma that we experience when that cloud arrives from the sun increases the drag on those satellites and slows the satellites down, and therefore they lose their altitude. And all of a sudden, they're not where they're supposed to be, and there's no way to put them back, and they've lost a satellite. So cycle 24, is it going to be that energetic that we're going to see these kinds of events? Probably. Scientists are therefore concerned that we're going to have some satellite loss, see some possible power grid situations, but you can see that massive amounts of dollars are being poured into research and plans are being made. It's a huge concern in a huge industry to ensure that we have backup systems and whatnot. What does this translate to the amateur radio operator? Well, the focus on emergency communications. When the main commercial systems break down, who comes in to bear the brunt of those emergency communications? Hopefully it'll be the amateur radio operator.
I'm speaking today with Thomas Hood, NW7US, the propagation columnist for CQ, CQVHF, and Popular Communications.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Thomas, I was first licensed in a ham in 1965, back when they actually had novice licenses and they expired after a year. I missed the fireworks that folks on 6 meters enjoyed in the mid to late 50s. And that's something that we haven't seen since, but maybe we'll actually see here in cycle 24.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I was not licensed at that time because I wasn't even born yet. I was born in 1965, and I do remember hearing some exciting things happening in the 70s. And by the time I finally got licensed, I was in the middle of cycle 22. And it was exciting during cycle 22. But then in May 1996, that's when cycle 23 started, everybody was hoping that cycle 23 was going to be phenomenal. Great predictions were given, and we waited and we waited and we waited, and then the first peak in April of 2000 was pretty weak compared to the previous two cycles. It only reached 120.8 in the smooth sunspot number. And yet, VHF occasionally had some very exciting moments even in cycle 23. But what the scientists are talking about right now are conditions that will surpass those of the 1950s and what you call the firework activity. I hear anecdotal evidence that cycle that was active in the 1950s gave us long periods, days if not weeks, of activity on VHF that allowed a person to sit down in the evening and chat with somebody thousands of miles away on 6 meters. Unbelievable. They are saying that cycle 24 is going to be so much more strong than that cycle that it's going to be an everyday occurrence with a wet noodle and a 25-50 watt VHF radio on 6 meters to talk worldwide, just like you might experience on 10 meters, say, during cycle 22. So all of these people who have VHF equipment with 6 meter capability that never thought they would ever get onto HF because, you know, HF takes a lot of investment, takes a lot of patience, and you got to sit around and wait for the right conditions. They're going to be sitting on 6 meters. They're going to be talking worldwide. It's going to be unbelievable.
You've mentioned some numbers, 120.8 sunspots, what have you. For the uninitiated, briefly tell us what these numbers mean and at what point typically we can begin to see regular propagation on bands like 10 meters and then these potentially spectacular openings on 6 meters.
Well, I'll give you a very simplistic view, but understand propagation is actually a complex science. You can't just rattle off numbers and have direct correlation. In other words, I can't say when the daily sunspot is at 100, you'll have this kind of activity on VHF. And here's why. The nature of the ionosphere is that it takes solar energy to excite the atoms and break off ions and create the density needed to refract a radio wave. So several things have to happen in the course of each day. First, you have to have sunlight. So you're not going to have a strong ionosphere on the dark side of the Earth where it's nighttime. And how much sunlight you have is what's going to determine how high that energy level is going to become each day. So summertime, the ionospheric condition in summertime over the North Hemisphere is going to be stronger than wintertime over the North Hemisphere during the daytime because the sun's farther away during the winter. Therefore, if the sun is highly active and has a high number of sunspots, the sun's going to radiate the kind of energy toward the Earth that creates a strong ionosphere. If that occurs in the summer, you're going to have the strongest ionosphere than if that same solar activity was occurring during the winter for our northern hemisphere. And I'm assuming that most of our listeners today are in the northern hemisphere. So there's this cycle that goes on between winter and summer, day and night. And if I say that VHF is going to be active via the ionosphere if the solar activity is at such and such a point, it may vary, so it's not a complete rule of thumb. But saying all of that, let's assume that we see solar cycle 24 reach 170 smooth sunspots per month. And that's just above what cycle 21 gave us. 170 is extremely active compared to solar cycle 23, which peaked only at 120 sunspots per month.
This has been the second in a three-part rain series we've dubbed Cycle 24, A Sneak Peek, featuring Thomas Hood, NW7US, propagation columnist for CQ, CQ-VHF, and Popular Communications magazines. Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, will conclude his interview with Thomas next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2007 Rain. All rights are reserved. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN.